There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. And now we're number two on this Friday. Glad to have you here. And congratulations to Chad. One last hour at the end of the hour. That $100 gift certificate from Mason Hills Farm. We'll do it again this time next week. So another chance the whole way through college football season. Big thank you to Joey Mason. Also, as you look, I talk about this on Fridays a lot because maybe it's just me. I think it's not just me, though, that makes plans. Like Friday, you're like looking forward to what's happening next week, right? Making plans for next week. And if some of those plans need to be getting some of the junk out of your way, I got my friend Trey who can help you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He could probably even come see you today. But if you're thinking, okay, we'll get this next week. It could be junk at your house. It could be a storage unit you pay on every month. You don't even need anything in there. You just don't want to get around to cleaning it up. To big stuff, right? So like the number of above-ground pools and storage buildings or storage sheds and swing sets and all that kind of stuff that they pick up weekly with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, it's a lot. So, yes, can they tackle boxes in a garage, an attic? Absolutely. Furniture out of a house? Sure. But big projects like that are well within what they do every week. So make that appointment. Get the junk gone from your life. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number. And make that date with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's really, it's cool because they don't have like this window of time. They make actual appointments because they know you got work and kids and family and life. So when you call, they're going to find the day that works for you, the time that works for you, and they set the good old-fashioned appointment. You show up there, they show up, and you can get the work done then. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, mentioned as we went into the news, talking about this story that was important this week, but I think with the strike at the ILA strike and all that, kind of got lost a little bit in the news cycle, and that's EPA reaching a settlement with Alabama Power on a couple issues at Berry Steam Plant. Joining us to talk more about this from Mobile Baykeeper, Kate Kistler joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Hey, Kate, I got a question here, too. Just wondered about the kind of big story going on. Of course, we're watching the tragedy that has taken place in the Appalachians and the Smokies there with the flooding from Helene. I remember in the past us talking about other places that had coal ash where they had breaches and the damages done there. Were any of those places, are they affected up there? Do they still have coal ash next to waterways up there? What are y'all hearing?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about for a while, hey, look what's going on in the Southeast. They're moving this coal ash. They're recycling it. Why aren't we doing that in Alabama? And, you know, I saw some discussion the other day where they were worried about what's going on in Asheville, and some folks that have worked up there said, hey, we're lucky we got those lagoons, we got those coal ash ponds removed some years ago. And so, you know, you can go see what we avoided, but that site's cleaned out. And the same for a number of other sites in South Carolina and North Carolina where they've dug them up, recycled it, or put it in a lined landfill. And, you know, those folks dealing with so much right now, you know, my prayers go out to them.
Yeah.
I'm glad, and I'm sure they're glad they're not dealing with one more thing with pollution and coal ash in those floodwaters.
So, because, I mean, that is something to think about, that there were places up there that had coal ash stored in these ponds, and they were near waterways. And, gosh, even small waterways we saw in this rose very quickly and washed away people's lives, let alone could have washed out a levee or topped a pond.
Yeah, I mean, there's the list is pretty big of the ash ponds that were up there on, you know, on the Fritch Broad River, which is an Asheville, one of the places that's seen so much devastation on rivers in South Carolina and and North Carolina. And, you know, it's a big list of places where excavation has been completed, millions of tons of ash either recycled into concrete or put in a lined landfill, where, again, it's not one more thing that you're worried about today with loved ones missing and homes gone. And, you know, nobody wants to be dealing with toxic pollution in those floodwaters to go along with all those other challenges.
Well said. Help us this week so the news comes out. I know it's a big piece of news. I do think it, you know, was somewhat, you know, moved down the stack because of the strike going on here. But the EPA, so federal EPA, reached a settlement with Alabama Power. What was this? The two issues related to potential violations at Berry Steam Plant. What is this? What did they make the settlement on?
Yeah, so if you remember, it's probably been about a year now. The EPA came out with these violations that they felt like were present at Plant Berry, Alabama Power's closest facility here in Mobile. And they said there were some issues with the groundwater monitoring. They said there were some issues with their emergency action plan not being prepared. I mean, you know, relevant here, not being prepared for major storms and flooding. And then also that the closure plan was going to leave, you know, almost 5 million tons of coal ash sitting in the groundwater. So they've kind of dealt with the low-hanging fruit here. This recent agreement, they dealt with the groundwater monitoring. So they have them installing some more wells and producing another report to really show how that pollution is leaving the site. More accurately, to improve their emergency action plan so they're prepared for the potential major weather events. We could talk some more about what they had to do there. They paid a fine, I think it was about $270,000. But the biggest piece of this, the most important piece, has not been addressed yet, and that's the millions of tons of ash that are sitting in groundwater and that will be left there if they close it in place in this unlined pit on the Mobile River.
Okay, and I'm going to come back to it. I've just forever called it like the chronic and the acute issue here. Y'all probably have different names for it. But I want to go back because you're talking about the groundwater monitoring. And so I'll talk about the chronic. What kind of leaching is going on? Do we have any numbers? Do we have a baseline? And then is it getting better, getting worse? And what is the monitor? You know, if we got additional monitoring, is that going to give us a better picture on it? Or is it to go in more areas of it, right? Like, what does that do, the additional monitoring?
Yeah, so just to the first step, I mean, this pollution has been continuing, right? We documented it early on. The federal rule required Alabama Power to start monitoring, and of course, all their monitoring so far has shown, and I think some Lanyap just recently covered, I think it may have been Scott Johnson for Lanyap, that, hey, we got another groundwater monitoring report coming out now. You know, they do these biannual or twice a year, and guess what? There's still heavy metals leaking out into the groundwater. So the additional monitoring, while I'm still reading through the full order, it's pretty, you know, 30 pages of pretty technical stuff. Yeah. It will require them to have better background wells, so they're not showing, you know, if there's impacts in the background, they're not trying to show, hey, everything's okay. Background looks the same as what's downstream. And then, you know, some more wells to really characterize how deep that groundwater is, how much of it's in the ash, all those kind of things. So that's kind of a surface of what's going on there.
Okay, so, yeah, because I'm just trying to, you know, is it we're doing a better job of monitoring where we're already monitoring, or we're going to increase the footprint of monitoring? Because if, you know, my worry is, okay, you could assume that the area right under the unlined pond, you got the leaching going on there. What I'm also concerned in as a citizen, and I imagine folks around there are, where does it show back up? Like, okay, it's leaching here. Does it hit an aquifer and it goes 100 yards, or does it go a mile? You know, where else? If you out by 43 underneath on the other side, those kind of questions.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think that's part of what they're going to have to do. They say what they call it is this groundwater investigation work plan. To provide better characterization of what's going on up gradient and down gradient, which is to say, you know, where the water's coming from and where it's headed. You know, the good news is that most of the mapping shows that groundwater's going away from, you know, where wells and those kind of things are. It's headed toward the delta primarily, but, you know, this will help delineate that better. So we'll have a clearer picture. You know, they're saying here that Alabama Power failed to install a groundwater monitoring system that would ensure detection of the pollution and monitor all potential pathways. So that's what's going on with the monitoring.
Okay. Now this response plan, right? So for an emergency response plan, what action plan? What is this? What was Alabama Power on record with? What does EPA say they have to do? Can you? What's the delta between the two?
Yeah, I mean, EPA said basically they didn't identify major storm events. They didn't model well enough what would happen during those big storm events. They, you know, Alabama Power has this inundation map, and if you hadn't seen this thing, it's something to see. It takes a little doing because it's spread. It's like an engineering sheet, but it shows the area in the delta that, you know, if you were out there when it's still happening, you need to get out of Dodge, that it would flood with coal ash. And so they said, hey, during that mapping of where that coal ash would spill in the first hour or two after a breach, you know, you didn't deal with what would happen when it happens during a hurricane with the river levels up. You know, it would go further, may it flood other places. You know how the delta is when the rivers are up and it becomes, you know, more or less one big river. So they wanted them to do a better job of that. And then, you know, we talked beforehand just for a second and talked about modeling, and that's another thing. They say, you know, you need to be prepared for what happens, you know, during certain floods and what's the impact on the ash pond. So, you know, that's another piece of this that they're going to have them do. And you know, I talked to Lanyap about this the other day. They called one that wanted to know more about, you know, what's going on. And they were, you know, it was interesting because at first I think people read this as, oh, well, EPA is settling and now they're not concerned about, you know, potential for hurricanes and emergency. And it's like, no, they want them to have a better plan to deal with it. As long as this ash is left on the side of the river, that threat really is, you know, exists. And it's a matter of what happens if you have a spill, which is, of course, not what we want to be dealing with when you have a hurricane, so many other things on your mind that you got to deal with.
Yeah, this is also what you get into with me, maybe a little intricate or nerd-like question, but as a guy that grew up on that delta, is the worry, if you had to rank them, I'm sure they're both worries, but is the worry a hurricane bringing rain in and maybe, you know, that storm surge coming up at some level up the Mobile River, so a, you know, hurricane season event, is that rank higher than a crazy high river in the spring, you know, getting up, I think it was, what, 4 or 5 years ago, the reading in the Mobile River at Barry got to like 16 or over 16. Y'all talk about that? Like, what's the one you think would be the bigger danger?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it either way. I think, you know, what we just saw in North Carolina, and of course, they're very different than we are. They have those steeper, you know, slopes and all that. But what we saw was that it rained for a handful of days or weeks. They had a lot of water come down before, and so their soils were already saturated. So I imagine you could have a wetter summer than normal, especially late summer, maybe a couple tropical storms that are, you know, not the end of the world, but they fill up the basin. And then if you have one of these, you know, like Sally, like Harvey, slow moving rain events, it doesn't even have to be that strong, right, in terms of wind speed. If it stays in our watershed, kind of moves north through the state, you know, maybe a couple days later and the winds quit blowing, but the river just keeps rising and you're, you know, trying to get it to go down, but there's nothing you can do at that point. That basin's so big, mm-hmm. It just keeps draining. So that's my, you know, kind of nightmare scenario. But I think, you know, with a basin like this, with the Mobile River as powerful as it is, there's a couple worrisome scenarios that could occur.
Now, I'm glad y'all looking at like at that, because I think some people who don't spend the time in the drainage just see it. It's all just one kind of flood. There's just different kinds of flooding. There's, you know, storm surge, there's rain, there's long-term rain, and those all come together. Now, with that emergency plan out, so those are two things. But what I didn't hear you say is there's any change to keeping that, like you said, it's still there on the edge of the river. Is there any other discussion about moving it to a line facility, an upland facility? Does the EPA come back for round two?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I mean, I think there's a couple good things going on here that provide some reason for optimism, but, you know, not for complacency. And that's it. You know, we know Alabama Power has now said they want to do this coal ash recycling. And, you know, thank goodness they're following in the steps. Their Southern Company's sister company over in Georgia, where they're recycling, I think, 65 million tons, if memory serves. And so that's good, but none of that's binding. At any point, the market changes, whatever, they could walk away from that. So we're concerned about that. But the other piece is that, you know, to me, and I'm just reading the tea leaves here, I don't have inside info, but to me, I'm looking at what's going on here. We see this violation come out a year ago. It shows these three major problems. EPA kind of seems like worked with Alabama Power to the two they could agree on more, got those out of the way. And my expectation is that, you know, they're not going to walk away from this most serious one. And there's nothing in this settlement agreement that stops them. This is not, hey, we're all done here. This is, we've dealt with these two issues. Okay. So, you know, looking at what they've done, looking at the fact that they said themselves in that violation agreement, it's going to be nearly 5 million tons of coal ash saturated in groundwater. You know, I feel pretty confident and hopeful that they're going to take action on the most serious part of this, and that they're going to make Alabama Power clean it up in a way that protects Alabamians and our waterways, and makes them follow the law, of course.
The recycling thing, and this is years ago when this was discussed. I mean, it was my audience, like, within minutes were like, well, why don't they just use it to make concrete? You know, and this, what are they doing with it? What is the recycling plan?
Yeah, it's very similar to what's happened in a lot of these other southern states where they are basically using it to make concrete. I'm not a technical expert on any of that, but they, you know, it comes out in their press release that they put out about it with this group. I think, I'm going to forget the name of it, Eco something and Eco Materials, I believe. And so that's what it looks like. And they're going to do, I think they said 700,000 tons per year at the time of the press release. I think that came down a little bit. And I saw an air permit where it was 600,000 something per year that they were looking at doing. So, you know, that's the way that would go. They're going to build it on site, the little rail to get it there. It makes a lot of sense. It kind of, you know, sounds a little bit like something we've been saying for a while. And I'm glad they're, you know, taking that action. You know, I'll applaud them for that, and I hope to see them do it in a binding way so that we know that it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like it would help everybody, right? I mean, if you could take this coal ash away from the edge of the Mobile River, at the same time, you're solving that problem. You're supplying material for concrete, maybe at a better price. I don't know why this is just not, everybody says, yes, let's do this.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, it defrays the cost of closure, so it makes business sense, which, you know, I'm not in the business of telling people to do things that don't make any sense, so that's great. You know, I've even seen where there were reports that we were importing Chinese coal ash as a feedstock in concrete, and, you know, some legislators said, why would we be importing it from China and India when we've got it right here? You know, and so, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And then plus, you know, this is an on-site action, so it's not going to be, you know, there's all this worry or fear-mongering about the trucks, how many trucks? Well, you can do this on-site, you can put it on rail. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I'm glad to see that step going forward.
Yeah, I remember that. Gosh, that's been so many years ago, but the discussion of X number of trucks, and they could have an accident, and, you know, let me use a technical term, they could tump the truck over and it would spill out, or it would come out of the top. So, yeah, so that whole issue is gone then.
I mean, it's got to be moved somehow, and I'm sure trucks come in and out, but it's a power generating facility on Highway 43. I mean, there's activity for all the things that it takes to do the process that are happening at those industrial facilities up there. So it's not, it's not nothing. And then I remember a board member of ours when approached about, well, what if a truck spills, said, mm-hmm. Hey, look, better one truck on the side of the highway than a whole coal ash pond in the Delta, you know? So, I mean, I think that's already kind of making up a false, oh, what about this rainy day scenario? But nonetheless, you know, the risk of that versus the risk of the ash pond sitting next to the river.
Next thing on y'all's calendar then, you talked about this is not over. So what are y'all watching? You got a big whiteboard calendar there at Baykeeper. What's next?
Yeah, well, I think it's a question of what's going on with the EPA on that enforcement action. And, you know, I mean, the head of the EPA said back, I forget now, when, you know, during the permitting process when interviewed about Plant Berries, said, hey, you know, when coal ash is in contact with groundwater, that's a violation of federal standards and it's a threat to communities, and said, you know, we're going to act and we're going to take care of those issues. So I don't expect to see them walk away. I expect them to take some action. In the meantime, we're not just waiting on the EPA. I mean, that can be dangerous for a lot of reasons. We've got this litigation going forward. You know, I don't want to get a lot into that, ongoing litigation, all that, but we've got an appeal to the 11th Circuit, and that will be, you know, starting up pretty soon, basically. So,
all right. People want to get more information. Keep up with what y'all, you know, day-to-day on this, and check y'all out. Even the swim report, which I love. How do they do that? How do they find you online?
Yeah, mobilebaykeeper.org is where to find us online. We got a lot going on between the mud dumping that I know you and William have talked about in the bay. I was out oyster garden this morning, got 100,000 oysters out there, you know, playing with those. So we got a lot going on. Love for folks to check us out.
All right, yes, and we will talk about dredging all the next time y'all get on. Kate, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
All right, there goes Kate Kistler, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 128, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I'm glad to have you here on this Friday. Chris, you're too nice. Chris says you've been one of the leading bangers of the drum on the coal ash problem. This is great news. You're sharing. Please give yourself a pat on the back. Take a victory lap. We didn't finish yet. And what I have done, I think, Chris, is tried to balance. Like, there were things that put me at odds with all groups. Like, for a while, their Alabama Power was working off the recommendations they were given by the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, ADEM, right? So they were in compliance with what the state agency was telling them, but not the federal agency. So I just wanted to make sure that that was out there. They did have something that said they were within the window. A lot of money to do this project? Absolutely. Have we already had raises in rates from Alabama Power to deal with some of these things? Yes, we have. I get it. Like, I'm not anti-Alabama Power producing electricity. I'm not for making, I mean, it's not like I'm sitting in some ivory tower. I pay, let alone my power bill. You should see the power bill for this radio station. So I get it. At the same time, we can say, oh, it's going to be a 500-year flood or something that would breach the levee in one way or another there at the coal ash ponds. Okay, that maybe. But what we do know is that there's this leaching into the aquifer. Most of that going in the Delta. You heard Kate say it. I think that's good, because what's the thing we all learned? Solution, dilution's a solution to pollution, but how much? I think we need to address it. And I think if we can make some concrete while we're doing it as well, come on. Let's do it. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Let's check in with my man Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Because Ron, this is those people are like, man, I can't get by the shop on the weekdays. This is their weekend. This is their Saturday, right?
Yep, the first Saturday of October. We are open tomorrow from 9 to 2. If anybody's running late, give us a call and we can hang out. But otherwise, it'll be 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we have lots of the brand new Christmas engravables are all out on display. We have a sale on 1 ounce American Silver Eagles, and still have a deal going on 100 ounce silver bars.
See, and I told y'all, I mean, because they're always ahead of the game, they have your Christmas stuff now. A lot of us won't think it's post Thanksgiving, but those of you that are responsible, so's Mobile Bay Coins. So y'all got them now.
Yeah, and a lot of the designs are low vintage. They don't make a lot of them because, I guess previous years they weren't very popular, but they, like, First Baby's First Christmas has been very popular, and they're doing a limited run this year. So get them while you can still get the. I mean, it's amazing how many of those were sold the last couple of days, the stuff that's been short the last few years. So we unpacked them all two days ago, and we're already sold about 20% of them. Plenty of all the designs left, and Anna's going to stay on top of it, make sure she reorders those so we don't run out until they stop making them.
All right, so y'all can get by there this afternoon or tomorrow until 2. Ron, tell them how to find you if they've never been before.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us for directions at 251-725-1590 or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, if you can't get by during the week, tomorrow is your Saturday. They do it first Saturday of the month there, so you can get by. Unnamed texter said, hey, Sean, the next time John Kerry goes to Paris, Is he going to be back in that position? I hope not. Next time he goes to Paris, he could ask India for some cash to help Alabama Power. We paid to clean up the Ganges. This goes back to this. There is a certain amount, and I get painted as an isolationist. I do. Usually it's about military stuff, right? The neocons look at somebody like me, and they're like, you just don't understand realpolitik and what's going on to keep the... I do. I'm not ignorant. I just disagree. I do see there is some pragmatism there. I do see spending money in the foreign aid department at some level when you can show me that this saves us money having to deal with something in the future. The old ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. But that's limited. And when it comes to projects like cleaning up the Ganges, I think I would, you know, good. I would like a clean Ganges there in India. Hopefully one day I get to go to India. I'd love to see it. So I think it's a good thing. I'm not against a clean Ganges. It's just not my job. If you haven't noticed, India, they're doing pretty good. They'll be able to clean up their own Ganges. So I agree with you, Dexter. We can get that money back to deal with things here at home. If everything was square at home, if we had everything fixed and we're like, hey, man, we get all this extra money because we just keep taxing the people. Let's give, you know. The texture goes on to say, build a world-class retaining pond 5 miles away. Yeah, they looked at some different sites, and this is like the bridge story. So many stories I've done over time. I have all this stuff in my head, and I know that we talked about specific locations for an upland site. I think they did. Washington County, I think, you know, which obviously you're right there at the line of Mobile and Washington County. Some upland lined sites. You could do that. You could also, this idea like y'all came up with way back when, if you can recycle some of this into concrete and defray the cost, I'm for that. I mean, let's figure out how to get this done. Because you got the, once again, do I know that there's going to be some 500-year situation to breach? I don't know. You know, odds would say it's not. But then again, you look around and go, well, things happen that are supposed to be, you know, once every 200 years, and they've happened, you know, twice in 30 years or something like that. But the one that, you know, day in and day out worries me is how much of this is making its way into the delta there. And then over how much time does it bioaccumulate? Does it cause issues like that? I mean, the fact that you can't, you know, you go up at Olin and you can't keep, I mean, you can keep them, but you're not supposed to be eating the bass because the mercury levels still, after decades, are so high in them. I think that's a bad thing. I don't like just cordoning off areas of our outdoors and saying, well, that area, that's, you know, that's you can't eat the fish from there. If we can stop it beforehand, you know, and mitigate it, let's try. All right, Aiden and Citronelle, it's disappointing that Southern companies can fix the coal ash problem in other states, but not here. Politics, maybe? Yes, maybe. No, yes. Aiden, they absolutely have fixed it in other places. And they also hadn't gotten into this in a while, but if you look at the power rates here versus other Southern Company states, we're paying more. And the this has been going on. I think Ben Raines, back when he was with the paper, first pointed this out. Also, speaking of the Alabama Power thing, I think Dan and Dalton talked about it this morning, or that the lawsuit, it's a lawsuit that was discussed a couple years ago. Y'all, if you've heard it, listen to the show over time, you know, on a rant, because while it seems like for conservatives, they can't ever say they like solar. I like solar. I don't believe you should have government incentive over another thing. And I think we're going to be on fossil fuels for a while, but I think solar power is cool and battery technology getting better to hold that energy. I like all that stuff. I mess with it personally. I think it's cool. If I can get some system that eventually could pay itself off and I could get free electricity, to me, that's the most conservative thing ever, right? Fiscally conservative. So I'm down with that. But Alabama Power, we talked about somebody who was actually going to run for Senate as well, who was running for Senate about this, having this fee, if you have solar, right, if you have solar on your home and you're attached to the grid. Now, off-grid, this is not the same. But if you're attached to the grid, so you want solar, you're trying to build solar to defray cost, Alabama Power charges you to hold back a certain amount of electricity should you need it, even though if you don't use it. It's just a flat fee. And that lawsuit looks like it's moving forward. I'm going to dig into that. We'll try to get some people on next week to talk about that. Versus other states where they're letting people sell, if they produce an overage of solar, they sell it back to the power company, back through the grid. To me, that just makes too much sense, right? When a lot of this boils down is to what happens with the Public Service Commission in Alabama. I talk about it when it's election time, and people will run for PSC, and they talk about national politics all the time. Not that they're not important, but they kind of dance around what they should be doing here in Alabama. Remember, we have a Public Service Commission because we have utilities. And this has been back to my rant about, you know, utilities putting out, and they're bound to do some of these things by the dictate for the utilities. But, you know, why do I need a magazine about who I get power and water from? I don't have a choice, right? You're not in the marketplace. You advertise when you're in the marketplace. You're trying to get more people to buy your widget than somebody else's. Lord knows, that's my life. But on the utility side, they don't have that competition. Therefore, they don't have the refining of the pressure of the market on a utility. So what do? You have utilities. You have a Public Service Commission that represents the people, the customers of those utilities. Do I want them to be rudely adversarial? No. Do they need to come in with a watchdog mentality? Yes, they do. And I don't think we have that. I know we don't have that in Alabama like they do in other states. That's something you talk about at election time. Let's see here. Won't they need concrete for the new bridge? That was a discussion so many times. I don't know if those two, you know, Texter, you would think you could just link those two things together. I don't know that that's been done yet. It's been discussed. Wouldn't it be? Oh, this is from Billy. Okay, thanks, Billy. Billy, wouldn't it be a great thing from a PR aspect if I'm at Alabama Power? If I can do something to get rid of this coal ash issue along the Mobile River, at the same time, be this benefactor at great rates for concrete to build the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge, wouldn't that be a win-win? And I have not heard that. So, I mean, they're talking about this possibility of selling off the coal ash to build the concrete, but I would steer it towards the bridge before anything. Even maybe, because we're talking about a utility here, y'all, not a private enterprise, I might even take a lower rate for concrete that was going to be going to the bridge for the PR aspect of saying, here, we're taking something that was a lemon and we've made lemonade. I mean, wouldn't that be a great thing? I have not heard that that's happening. Supermom said, safe to say hurricane named Helene will be retired from use again. Politely challenging all the FM Talk 106.5 listeners to donate $10 to Samaritan's Purse. I'll take that challenge. That's a good charity, Supermom. More if you can. They're using donated money wisely and efficiently, as far as I can tell. That is where the people on the ground in North Carolina and Tennessee are asking people to donate to. It's easy peasy to donate online. Operation Airdrop is a good place to donate for the helicopter rescues and supply drops. These are pilots donating their helicopters. We're just helping with the gas. Excellent. So the two names here. So Samaritan's Purse. I know I've read those stories as well, Supermom, about the good they're doing. Samaritan's Purse. And then this other one I was unfamiliar with, Operation Airdrop. So we'll Google those up and get the links for those. So if y'all want to do donations there. Because I mean, they're at 215, I think, is the last stat I saw for deaths up there. I think that goes higher. But the bigger story, too, are those left alive. Those left alive and how they're going to recover. I don't know. Let's go to... Let's go to the phones here. And Norm, you're up.
Hey, what's going on today, buddy?
Man, it's a Friday here. You want to talk some utilities with me?
Yes, I do. You're talking about the PSC and rate hikes. Question I have is, does MOZ, as a utility, have to have any clearance from the PSC about their rate hikes?
Does the PS? Okay, wait, let me go back. So does MOZ have to? Yeah, they any all the utilities have to clear through the PSC.
Okay, I didn't know that. I mean, because...
And that's their job, right? Because, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking utilities, y'all. If it's a private company... And, you know, it's Norm's Water Company is charging X, and then I'm charging more, then everybody goes with Norm's company, not mine. I mean, it's a normal thing. But in a utility, that PSC is supposed to be that pressure you're talking about to say yes, no, or, you know, maybe to those. And it seems like I'm not in every meeting or any of their meetings, but I don't think we say no a whole bunch.
Well, but, you know, you're forced, you know, if you're in the MOZ service area, you have no choice but to utilize their utility. You have absolutely no choice. You can't go to South Alabama Utilities right. or Theodore or whatever. If you have their utility, you've got to use it.
Yeah, and that's something we
agree. You want to use bottled water,
right? And that's something we ended up agreeing on as a society, right? That we needed utilities. Like, that we needed these things. These projects were so big, cost so much money. To get the infrastructure done, we said, okay, we're going to have utilities, and because they're spending this much money in infrastructure, we're going to protect their ability to make X number of dollars back, right, to be able to service the needs of the company. Yeah. Those things are fine, but it should be a sharp-eyed PSC that keeps an idea or keeps an eye on what those rates are. So,
okay, buddy. Well, that's all
Norm.
I wanted to know.
Well, thank you, Norm.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, roll. Appreciate the call, Norm. Oh, sorry. So, Norm, I've been corrected here by somebody in the know that their rate hikes go through the board. For MOZ, we are a nonprofit. Well, all utilities, I mean, they can make a profit, but it's fixed. But so MOZ goes through their board on the rate hikes. There we go.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. And Superbomb, your challenge is up on Facebook as well. Leanna hooked it up. So if you'll go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. She's done this challenge here for us to help out with folks in the greater North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia area by helping Samaritan's Purse and Operation Airdrop. Those links are up on our Facebook page. Just check it out over there. All right, to the phones here. Time to check in with my man, David McCrary, at LCM Motor Cars, where the rain's fallen, but y'all are still dry. How do you do it? How do you stay dry?
It's magic. We got a carport out here. Anybody that's interested in looking at a car, rain or shine, actually, I mean, it gets so hot out there in the sun, even when it's not raining, you know, during the summertime, we've got a place to pull two vehicles in, and we've actually got more space than that, but we got two out front where we can look at the cars out of the heat or out of the rain or whatever and get protected somewhat. So if you're looking for a vehicle, don't let the rain hinder you. Come by and see us. Another thing we're fixing to do, Sean, is we're going to start putting a QR code on every vehicle on the lot. And it's not just going to take you to our website. It's going to take you to the actual car page. So you'll go straight to that car's page. You'll be able to see the Carfax, all that good stuff. Fill out a credit app from there if you're interested, or text us from there if you're interested. Even if it's Saturday night, Sunday, we're not here. You can get with us, and we can help you figure out what we can do to help you.
Well, good thinking. I like that because, I mean, a lot of times we come, people looking at vehicles or passing you or whatever, and it is a Saturday evening or a Sunday, and now they can good on you. I like that a bunch.
Thank you. Well, you know, you navigate a website. I mean, if the QR code takes you straight there, I mean, some people can figure it out, but it gets difficult. So if it takes you straight to that car's page, it don't cost you nothing, and we're paying for the Carfax. I mean, you know, you just come out here and take a look and figure it out by yourself if you don't want to be, bothered by a salesperson, and then we can help you once you make your own decision.
All right, man, I love it. So if y'all are going to go see, you know, somebody in person like David or the crew or do the QR code, how do they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10. exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Free Carfax on every car that we have on there. Should be pictures of 90% of the vehicles on there, so just let us know what we can do for you.
Hey, thanks, David. We'll talk next week.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. I like that QR code thing. That's good because you can just kind of walk through and check out the – okay, yes. Yes to that. Supermom also adds this. She says, I'm following a TikTok account with the running list with missing slash deceased count in North Carolina, and there's still over 1,500 people missing. Death count is going to surpass the 200 number. Unfortunately, you're probably right. I wonder how many of those 1,500 are just not in communication. And how about Elon Musk? I'm not showing up with Starlink for those people up there. How they're all going to be delivered, I don't know. But that's going to be an important thing for a lot of people up there as they try to recover. That's just your prayers to those people. And once again, Leanna, quick on the Facebook, that challenge of donating $10 to Samaritan's Purse and or Operation Airdrop that Supermom put up is up on her Facebook page, just facebook.com/FMTalk1065. The Baroner said, just voted, and Twinkle, he means Twinkle Kavanaugh from the PSC, is running unopposed again. Remember what happened last time somebody ran against her? The person was not some particular liberal, but they painted him as that. I mean, this is why Montgomery is important. It's why we talk about it on this show. There's so much, and we're all caught up in what happens on November 5th and the national cycle and the election. And that's important. I'm not to say, pay attention to that. At the same time, pay attention at a state level, a county level, a municipal level. I know y'all do, but make sure that word spreads. That's where government that touches you most resides, closest to you. So take it upon yourself to see the issues that are important, figure out who's making the decisions on them, and make your voice heard. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow morning, Mike Ward and I, for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors at 7. I know we got our buddy Captain Wayne Miller coming on, talking some bass fishing and a whole lot more tomorrow morning at 7. Y'all have a great one. And check out Dan and Dalton talking football tonight at 8 o'clock.